Humboldt Holding Up is brought to you by Los Bagels, one of our local businesses who have totally been holding it down during the pandemic. Right now, they're open 7 days a week in both Arcata and Eureka. They've got fresh baked bagels, pastries, delicious coffee and espresso drinks. They offer outdoor seating at both locations now so you can stay distant and safe while still eating someplace other than your own house. Amazing. Check out Los Bagels, open 7 to 2 daily at 1061 I Street in Arcata and 403 2nd Street in Old Town Eureka.
Happy Humboldt, everybody. It is Humboldt Holding Up, the Lost Coast Outpost's Good Enough Zoom podcast. It's good enough. My name's Andrew Goff.
And I'm Stephanie McCary. And you know, while we have been enduring the boredom of this pandemic, something that we're all probably doing a lot more of is watching movies.
I've been watching some movies.
You've been watching an occasional movie.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the fun things about Humboldt County, we actually have a lot of movies that have been filmed here, or at least in Del Norte, you know, the region.
Yeah. And another fun thing, a gimmick that will never go out of fashion, are lists. Everybody loves a good list.
Yeah. Yep.
Lists help us understand the world better. They're quick, they're dumb, they're fun. And so in that spirit, we recruited a couple people from the Humboldt Del Norte Film Commission to come in and give us their expert opinion on what are the top 10 movies ever filmed in Humboldt. And we're going to see how that goes.
They're going to talk about at least a couple of other interesting things, I'm sure, too. So
So let's see Cassandra and Nate. Let's see if we can get them in here.
Hello.
Yes.
All right. Cool. Talking good. Everybody.
Hi, Cassandra.
Good, Cassandra.
So okay, let's. We'll do this. So today we have an historic list to get to. But first, I must introduce our guests. We are joined by Commissioner Cassandra Heseltine and Nate Adams from the Humboldt Del Norte Film Commission. Who are these people? Well, you know, people who dwell around these parts are well aware that we live in a ridiculously beautiful and weird area here in Humboldt. And as a result, sometimes ambitious, glitzy Hollywood types seek to take advantage of that beauty and weirdness by using the place we call home as a backdrop for their fancy, big-budget movies. That's when Cassandra and Nate step in to try and help these very important people make their movies as excellent as possible while also encouraging them to funnel some much-needed funds into the local economy. In what ways did I just mess up y'all's job description?
No, I think you pretty much got it. I don't know. Okay.
I have
Did
no
you
complaint.
Catch anything, Nate?
No. I think you did a good job.
Okay. Well, could you expand a little bit on it? Because
there's got to be more.
Yeah, there must
well,
be more.
Yeah. There's a lot more.
We you know, it is interesting because we are supposed to market to the world, basically, now that it's no longer just Hollywood. Of, you know, what our locations are, what our crews are, how we can help productions. And so we do that in many different facets. And then we help productions definitely when they're here with everything. We are a full-fledged standalone film commission office. We're not just a permit office that helps with, you know, the permit to film at a certain location. We're everything. We're for crew, vendors, you know, mediation, whatever you name it, we've done it for film crews. And then we also do film tourism, which sometimes brings in more money than the actual filming of a project. So for instance, we have a map of the movies where people could do a self-guided tour and go around and see the places where, you know, films have taken place. And we have markers there, unless they've been stolen, and to let you know, where the actual location is. And so, yeah, so we do all of those things, and that's just for that part. Then we have all kinds of projects, movies in the park that we do for free. We did a series called Meet the Experts. We've done Local Filmmakers Night, a red carpet gala for the Academy Awards and community awards that we give out. Mm. I mean, there's more projects than that. I can't even think of all the things that we've done. Yeah.
So for example, right now we have a production here in Humboldt. Been at Sequoia Park, has been at a few other locations. There's been some celebrity sightings.
Yeah, what? Can you, do you know about this, Nate? How do I know about this?
I don't know what you're talking about.
What?
Well, I don't know. Okay, well, maybe, I don't know.
Keep going. What was your question?
Talk a little bit about, you know, that production and how it compares to other productions that we've had. And
you know, I mean, right now, obviously, we're in the middle of, I don't know if you know this, but we're in the middle of a pandemic. So any productions right now, how they compare to productions previously, you know, it's obviously night and day. There's a whole other, you know, that's a whole other job that we have now that we didn't have pre-June, you know, when we opened for filming. And the particular production that you're speaking about, they are filming about 7 weeks total, which is a nice chunk of change. They were also here for pre-production, which is great. So that it's about a total of 3 months of having people, you know, stay in hotels or rent Airbnbs or get DoorDash or all of those things. So we're pretty happy about the economic stimulus during this time. That's been pretty hard. But they've been amazing too when it comes to the COVID-19 protocols. They've gone above and beyond what we've asked for from public health in the state of California and even the unions. They are doing daily testing. They brought their own lab. I got to go to it and get, you know, a COVID-19 test on set. And they've been just really amazing taking this super serious. They have a whole compliance team that they can even go to and say, hey, what am I allowed to do, you know, at night and my day is off. And so they've been really amazing at making sure that the production's safe, the community's safe, you know, while they're here spending their money.
Wow. COVID testing every day.
Well, so think about it this way. So every time you take a test, anytime you take a test, usually any blood test, any type of even COVID test is a moment in time.
Yeah.
So in that moment, that day on any given Tuesday, if you take a test, you're COVID free that moment. An hour later, you go catch it. So yeah. In 24 hours, you might've caught it. And so the reason why they're doing that is they've got actors who have their masks off. And so the director, the, you know, production designer, the makeup artist, anybody who's like in the same space as these people who have their masks off, if they have it and they give it to an actor, that's it. They shut down the production. They can't make the movie. They just wasted $1 million, right? If they've shot a couple weeks of the film, unless they can come back. If that person dies though from it, you just wasted a whole bunch of, you know, you have to start all over again. So it really, not only the humanity part, and obviously we don't want anyone to get sick, but there's the, why make a movie during this time unless you can protect everybody first, their health, but second, the movie. Otherwise you just waste a whole bunch of dollars. So, so yeah, that's why they want to be able to catch it in the moment if something were to happen.
Yeah.
Of course, they don't do it hourly.
Yeah.
You know, but they do it from, because of the fact that they're all together. Then they assume you go home, you might eat, whatever, and then you show up the next day. So what'd you do in that 12 hours? You know, it's like, were you exposed to it? That's the kind of thought.
So I know you're playing cagey on this, but we've already had it on Loco. This Ryan wrote about it. The sky is everywhere.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I know this is your little no what? Comment, Cassandra. is her name. But yeah, Jason Segel, other, you know, so like. When these celebrities come to town, do you fawn over them? Do you are they boring to you?
You know, it depends on who the person is. Just like anybody, you know.
Depends on who the person is. Okay.
Well, you know, of course, like just like anybody, of course, you know, there's people. I mean, fawn is a extreme word. I don't fawn over anybody, but do I admire, interested in, you know, get excited about that they're coming to town, you know, of course there's certain people.
You say that you don't fawn over everyone while I can look over your shoulder and see a picture of Brad Pitt on your wall taken he was here in Humboldt.
What you're missing, this is what you're missing. This is why that picture's there. I'll show you. Hang on. Okay, yeah. I don't want to step on the dog.
This is good audio.
I don't know that it'll, yeah, exactly. Ah, you can't see it, but what's missing, what you're not seeing is the special thanks to Cassandra Heseltine. See, my name was in the magazine.
Okay. Oh, I thought it was written by Brad Pitt himself.
Nah. No, yes, of course I had a crush on Brad Pitt in my entire life, but it's so interesting once you meet the celebrity, then it's like, oh, you're just a normal person. Dig it. You know, it actually is, you know, it's great to meet people, but then they become real and you can't, you know, they're no longer this, you know.
It's the fantasy.
Everyone is equally boring.
The fantasy goes away. You know, like I worked on, my first movie was with Kirsten Dunst and, you know, got to know her. And eventually it was just like, you know, bumming her a cigarette or hanging out and just chatting about normal life. Same with Daniel Radcliffe on my second movie. You know, everybody's, oh my God, it's Harry Potter. Turns out it's just Daniel, normal guy who wants to hang out and have a regular conversation and not have you fawn all over him. And you know, when you don't, they relax and get to be a normal person.
See, but this is what I want. You're getting into the spirit of name dropping, like Kirsten Dunst, Daniel Radcliffe. Like, let's keep this rolling, Nate. Like,
you fired Nate. Right after this podcast.
I feel like Kirsten Dunst and Daniel Radcliffe, though, would both be very, like, down-to-earth individuals, just for some reason. I just feel like I could hang out with them. That's
Daniel's amazing. He remembers everybody's name on set. You
know, we had crazy fans that would try to find out where we were shooting and come and hang out for 6 hours waiting for a glimpse of him. So, you know, you do have these people who want to fawn over them, but then when you spend time with them, you know, like we were saying, it's just a normal person, and they want to be treated like a person.
Right. Okay. So I imagine that's where some of the having to keep it a little bit under wraps stuff comes from then. You don't really want super fans like going out and staking out locations. And
we had that with Will Smith. That was my first year as a film commissioner. And I, you know, I knew that they wanted to keep it under wraps, but I didn't even really get it yet. And we had a stalker for Will Smith, you know, and she found out where we were filming it. She would call the office every week. We would, you know, kept trying to get her, you know, to calm down. She was like, oh, I was an extra in a movie with him 10 years ago. He'll want to see me. And I was just wow, sweetheart.
I'm like, I'm sorry about that. I was going through a rough time. I mean, come on, Will Smith. That's Will Smith.
I know. You know, and what's interesting with Will is he wasn't as overt as first. You know, like he saw me like a stranger. But why is there a stranger like right in the middle of? They took me to the middle of set and were showing me. They had the guy setting up there was an anchor that Jaden Smith was going to, you know, jump off of a tree, and they were setting this up, and the same guys who did Hunger Games. And so they took me in the middle of it to show me how cool all this was. And I was like panicking. I'm like, I know better than to be in the middle of all of this. And all of a sudden Will Smith walks up, and you know, everybody, you know, like when a mega star like that walks up, that you move off the path, you make room for them, not because they're conceited, but you know, because it's just out of respect. Like, you don't know if he's in character, you don't know where he's going, what he's doing, you know? And so it was so sweet because he turned and he just started talking to me about how cool this, rigging was, and how cool it was going to be fun to see his son do a stunt. And you know, it took me by surprise at first. And I was like, okay, he's just a down to earth guy. And he really still laughs like the Prince of Fresh Air, you know? It was great.
Well, what do you say? We get to the silly part of this, that we seeded with you, right?
This isn't silly. This is war.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. Let's get to the battling then. So everyone knows, in advance of this podcast, we asked you to do something kind of fun and dumb. And I'm being totally honest, Cassandra, I did not know that this would coincide with you celebrating 10 years as film commissioner. This seems like we planned it, but I did not know that you were 10 years in. So congratulations. Side note. Anyway, we asked you two, as the unquestionable authorities on Humboldt movies, to compile a list of the top 10 movies shot in Humboldt of all time ever. Are you excited for this?
Excited for the banter. Okay. That's about
now. I will mention. Steph and I were not aware of what movies you've decided to honor today. And we gave you no actual criteria for how to choose them. We bow down to your film knowledge, and we trust you with this historic task. So, without further ado, here we go. The top 10 movies shot in Humboldt of all time, ever. I'll probably put some music in right here. I don't know. Maybe. Anyway, here we go. Number 10.
All right. They're not in actual order.
So. They're not in order.
Well, you chose to do that part.
You didn't specify.
Well,
you just said make a list of 10.
Okay. So So what we'll be looking for is the movies that you shun by not including them on this list. But this is a good. Yeah. So this is a good.
We have three lists. We have the best, the bad, and the love hate so bad they're good. And then there's all the other ones that are just good, but They didn't make any of those lists.
Okay, so we'll start with the best ones, and I'll say number 10, but they're in no particular order. But here's
actually, let's go with this. I'll do it. I'll do the order that we did it. We'll just do it randomly.
There you go. How's good. Yeah.
Okay, number 10. E.T.
Now, E.T. was shot in Humboldt?
Del Norte County.
Where in Del Norte?
Represent both.
It was actually in both. It was in both. There was a culvert scene that was actually down here. And
there was a what scene?
I think one of the culvert scenes was actually within Humboldt County. Remember we talked to Caltrans and they're like,
What was it like a couple of years ago? Like Caltrans was going to modify or remove that culvert and they wanted to send a piece of the concrete to Steven Spielberg.
Yes, there was something like that about that going on.
Okay. So number 10, E.T. But this also brings to light another potential issue with this list is that you are including Del Norte because you are the Humboldt Del Norte Film Commission. And we're going to allow that because we love Del Norte.
When we scout all the forests. They don't just go, oh.
Okay, so the E.T. culvert scene gets it on the list. So that's number 10. Number 9.
Return of the Jedi.
Now, Return of the Jedi. Now, this is I was looking at your map of the movies, and it looks like this was shot in a couple locations on both ends of the county, yeah?
Yes.
Yes, it was shot on Highway 36. My favorite, Grove, actually, Cheatham Grove. That's the speeder chase scene where they did plates for it.
Which I forever thought was in Del Norte. So I got confused about that.
Nate, you want to tell them what's in Del Norte?
Well, that's where the Ewok village was set up and a lot of the battle scenes on Endor. They actually used some private logging land. I don't know if it was Green Diamond at the time, but it was a private logging company and they were getting ready to basically clear cut some of this forest. And so they allowed them to come in and blow things up and, you know, yeah.
This was not under your watch. This predates...
I think it was like 3 when they made the movie.
You remember when that movie was filmed?
But I'm just saying because you're saying they allowed them to blow things up in our beautiful pristine redwood forests.
Well, private land, you know.
Private land, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
They actually did some of their work for them. That's amazing. They cleared out some of the trees.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it was special effects. I don't think it was like really
They weren't really literally blowing up trees.
Is there a lot of CGI in 1982?
There was actual practical effects of things blowing up. If you go back and watch some of those battle scenes, they definitely had those going off and stuff.
And I'll use this opportunity. You recently had an actor who played an Ewok on your Meet the Expert series, yeah?
He didn't actually do a Meet the Expert. He did a May the 4th interview for us. Yes, and so we basically let him hijack our Facebook live feed and answer questions for, I mean, it was almost like 2 hours, I think he was on there, him and his wife. Kevin Thompson, who is just an amazing person. And, you know, it's funny, I was sitting at the office, I got a random phone call, and he introduced himself as Kevin. He said, I made a movie there back in the 80s, and I'm coming through, and I'd like to... photos of the area. And I was like, what movie were you in? He said, well, you may have heard of it. I'm a little person and I played, you know, what was called an Ewok. And I was like, oh my God, what was called an Ewok?
I like this. He's so humble that he acts as if people don't know what Return of the Jedi or an Ewok is. Yeah. I was in this little movie back in the 80s.
Definitely messing with me a bit.
Okay.
He is humble.
He's very humble, but also very funny. And he said, I'm going to be up there in a couple weeks. And he came and hung out at the office with me. And the whole time I had goosebumps. I mean, I'm a Star Wars nerd. I wanted to live in the Redwoods because it was Endor, or the forest moon of Endor, technically. That's how nerdy I am.
you just got a tattoo yesterday on your hand.
I did, actually.
From Star Wars.
I got the moon tattooed on my fingers. You'll notice that one is no moon. It's a space station.
It's very hard to see that well on the Zoom, but
it's a Death Star.
It's the
For those of you that can't see
I can
this,
see it. I can
Nate
see
is
it
flipping
now.
Us off.
And, I think you're even wearing a Star Wars. Are you wearing a Han Solo shirt right now? Yeah.
I am wearing a Han Solo.
I spotted it. I knew that Harrison Ford hair, just that was all I could see was the hairline, but.
Yeah, I know. Okay, so let's we'll keep this rolling. Number eight.
Bird Box.
Okay. Number eight is the also not shot in Humboldt movie, Bird Box.
They hired an engineer from Humboldt and spent a pretty penny doing so.
An engineer? What does that mean, an engineer?
So they hired an engineer to help navigate all the sensitive areas who works with all those jurisdictions to make sure that they were doing everything appropriate for the environment. So it was an engineer who already deals with like Six Rivers and Fish and Wildlife. A really great guy that, you know, all those entities love. And so they hired him and spent a pretty penny doing so to help make sure that they were doing everything correct.
I think most people are aware of Bird Box. It was like a big movie on Netflix a couple years back. Number one movie on Netflix ever, right?
I believe so. There's a series that was the number one project ever, but I believe it still is or was for at least a year or so the number one downloaded movie ever.
Starring Sandra Bullock. Now, this is the first movie on our list that you both probably worked on, yeah?
Oh, yeah. I had to live in Crescent City, basically, for like 3 months.
Got to live in Crescent City.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Had to.
Careful there, Commissioner.
No.
Well, I live an hour and a half away with children. And
okay. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Things, okay. You know. Nothing against Crescent City at all. Yeah. It's a super fun.
Okay. And Sandra Bullock. We're dropping names. How was Sandra Bullock?
It's the first time I did not get to meet a celebrity. But it was appropriate because she was one of those ones that stayed in character. She even when the camera was done, she stayed in that same character of that person. And so she didn't break, you know, it wasn't a comedy where she could, you know, break character. She stayed in that world that she was in.
So she just walked around the set with a blindfold on?
Blindfolded the whole time.
Yes. Yeah. She's terrified the entire time when she went to lunch. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Bird Box.
Yeah. All right. I have mixed feelings on Bird Box, I'm going to say, but you know, it was fun.
It was a phenomenon.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah,
but what the memes is really what made it. Like,
is that's what it was, I think. Huh?
I swear to God, every meme known to man was sent to me either like publicly or privately or whatever. I mean, it came a point where I was like, enough, I'm not Sandra Bullock.
Okay, number eight, Bird Box, number seven.
Do you have the list in front of you, Nate?
I do.
Okay, why don't you go ahead and name them?
The Big Trees.
The Big Trees. Now, what is this? People will not be instantly familiar with The Big Trees.
I believe it came out, 1952? And it starred Kirk Douglas.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
We've had over 100 years of filming. So when you ask us to come up with a top 10 list, you got to remember, first movie, Last of the Lumberland, was 1917?
1916.
So we've had over 104 years of movies. Yeah. So we had to include some of the oldies, right? You know?
Yeah. So what is this? The Big Trees. What is that? Kirk Douglas. What was it about?
He was a lumberjack. And I can't remember the exact story.
It's a love story.
Yeah.
Okay. And he was a lumberjack. Now was
big
he?
Trees.
Yeah.
Was he cutting? Was he cutting down old growth redwood, or was this sustainably?
Cutting down. Okay. Old growth. Yeah. I think there was a well-to-do lady who was the love interest. And of course, you know, Kirk Douglas is like walking around shirtless with an axe, you know, it was very 1950s entertainment. So
now is this a readily available movie? Like if I wanted to go watch The Big Trees, is there any way I could do that?
You know, I know you can buy it on DVD.
I think we have one.
What's that?
At this point.
What's that?
As far as streaming, I don't know. But we have shown it at the Eureka Theater. So I know you. Yeah.
So people can just check it out individually from you.
No, but they could, you know, they could probably get it. They could probably get it at the library.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Yes. That's right. That's good.
Okay. Hubble Canyon Library. Okay. That Big Trees, number seven. Number six.
Green Dolphin Street.
What?
What?
Oh, yeah. Sure. That is from 1947, and it stars Lana Turner. And it was a very popular book at the time, and they made it into this epic, really boring love story movie. And we are actually, the thing about Humboldt is we can be shot for other places, you know, and we were shot as New Zealand for this movie.
Really?
Yeah. And it actually won an Academy Award for special effects. It was, I believe, the first year they gave a special effects award.
Now, I'm familiar with a song. There's a song called Green Dolphin Street.
Yes. Yep.
Jazz standard.
Yeah.
Totally. Okay. So now, I believe it or not, I did quasi homework for this, and which means I just read the map of the movies. I don't think Green Dolphin Street is on the map of the movies. What? Or is it?
You know, a lot of these older movies, we don't actually know where they were filmed. But if you watch it, you can definitely pick out our trees. Like, it's very obvious. It's not Cory trees as you would see in New Zealand. It's, you know, redwoods.
Yeah. Well, and there was a gentleman back in the 80s who did all this work. He's passed, but he created the first map of the movies. And so he was the one that actually, you know, did a lot of the history and found out, you know, he would say in general they filmed here, or if he knew in detail, he would say it. So we knew a lot of our filmography, if you will, from him. And then, you know, nowadays too, a lot of it you can look up on IMDb and other resources. So our poster, which shows the 100 years of filming, has all the movies. But also the other reason why we might not have some of the movies on there is we don't have room.
Yeah, no, okay.
You kind of had to pick the most popular ones that people would actually go to and want to see for the film tourism part. And we are literally running out of room on the map.
We keep discovering older movies that were filmed here. In the past year, I know we've discovered two. One was Lassie Come Home. Mm-hmm. Was evidently
really?
Part of it was shot
Timmy's
here.
Timmy's in the Well.
Yeah. And what was the, The Russians Are Coming, the comedy from the 60s, was actually partially shot up here.
Is that a Peter Sellers?
It is.
Oh. It is? Yeah? Well, look at me pulling info out of my
brain.
Fancy.
Yeah, we add them to the filmography, but they may not make it onto the poster or the map. There's just no room.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Well, that was a curveball I was not expecting. Green Dolphin Street, number 6. Good job. Number 5.
Salem's Lot.
Lot, you consider of the top 10 films shot in Humboldt.
Yes. And the way I'm going
to have to sell this, Nate.
It has a cult following. Like, it has Facebook groups that follow it. People actually travel here still to come see, you know, the steeple or the cemetery, or they track down the actual home that they used that, you know, they built a facade on it to actually make the house for the movie, but people actually travel across the United States to still come see Ferndale because Salem's Lot was filmed here.
And they just celebrated their 30-year anniversary, and it's Stephen King. Come on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well... Yeah.
I mean, and there's two different versions. Shot for TV as a miniseries, which is like 3 hours long. I don't recommend necessarily watching that version. The theatrical release, they recut it and then put it in the movie. It's actually a little more, quick moving. It's not. Right.
Man, I was ready to shit on your entry here, but I go to Rotten Tomatoes and I see that Salem's Lot has an 88% on the tomato meter, so...
There you go. Okay. I mean, really, it does have a following. People love it. Have you seen it?
I don't think so.
Oh, see, you can't shit on it because you
haven't... I know,
I guess I just filed it away as some campy horror movie, but maybe...
But it has that following. It has a huge following because it is a campy horror movie, you know? Yeah. And, yeah.
But is it objectively good?
It depends on how you define good.
Pregnant pause there. Okay, yeah.
Watch it. Let me know what you think.
Okay.
It made it onto the good list for these guys versus the it's so bad, it's good list, which you apparently did as extra credit homework on this. So
that one could have been it's so bad, it's good. That one probably should have been swapped out with one of those, but whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, you know, we'll allow it.
Yeah, okay, so that is number, what are we at? Number five is number Salem's four. Lot. Okay, yeah. Number four.
Dead Man.
Okay, now Dead Man. I was talking about this with Ryan Burns yesterday, who is a film buff, who's my colleague, and we were talking about that we were going to have you on. And I said, Dead Man, like, how much of Dead Man was shot in Humble?
It actually was shot up in Del Norte. Again, we're dealing
with this. Oh, my God. This, okay, this is...
Yeah. I know, but hey.
Let's see.
I think a lot of our bad and love, hate, so good are all Humble, though.
Okay, yeah.
But no, okay. All of the river scenes, and I think even some of the forest scenes for Dead Man were actually shot on the Smith. So
no, Klamath. It was the mouth of Klamath.
Sorry, Klamath. Yes.
And we do know we are privy to Johnny Depp's behavior at the time, because he stayed at the Best Western. He stayed at the suite in the Best Western, which
yeah. Which Best Western? The suite.
In Crescent City.
What amenities does the suite have that the other rooms do not have?
Oh, just a living room, kitchenette,
yeah,
and then the bedroom. Yes, right. Yes. Okay. And we know that they had to do a little bit of remodeling.
They had to refurbish the room, we'll say, after Mr. Depp stayed there.
How do you know this? Oh. This was years ago. This was way before your time. Who told you
that they had to remodel? I think it was the same manager. Isn't it the same owner?
Maybe, but people call us all the time and just randomly say, hey, did you know, you know?
No, when but I heard it from the hotel. I heard it from the hotel themselves, and I don't remember if they're the same ones or the story was passed to them, because I've stayed there, and I've actually stayed in that room, and they were like, oh, Johnny Depp's room, and yeah.
I mean, they should put, do they denote it in any way? Like, do they have a sign on the wall, Johnny Depp required us to remodel this room? Like, they should, right?
Yeah, that's... huge plaque, huge.
Uh-huh. Okay, yeah. Did he go to Ocean World?
Probably.
Probably.
You?
Right. Dead Man is a good movie.
Yes, no, Dead Man is...
That's an excellent movie, and definitely deserves...
Jim Carmusch, the cast is amazing. It's actually one of my favorite movies that's actually been filmed here. So.
Okay, definitely.
Can I get to do the next three, Nate?
Okay.
So, Cassandra pulling rank here for the top three.
I'm excited about these ones.
Okay, we're entering the top three. These are the best of the best. Right?
Yes.
Oh, yep.
Okay. All right. We'll see how many of these you worked on. That's I'm anticipating. All right. Number three.
An Evening with Beverly Loughlin.
Wow.
Well.
Wow.
I love this movie.
Really?
I do.
Yeah. Okay.
You have to remember, we work on them. So when we work on a movie, we remember everything behind the scenes to, you know, all the stuff that goes into it.
Right. So there's production. But
Cassandra,
we're not objective when it comes to this.
Let me remind you that you were tasked with picking the top 10 movies shot in Humboldt ever, a list that will be studied and remembered for generations to come. And I don't know if you're taking this completely seriously with an Evening with Beverly, which is... I don't know.
Have you seen it? They shot entirely in Humboldt. The Eureka Theater, Eureka Inn is totally featured.
Yes.
But so many locations. You got to remember, my world's all about locations, right? You know, so all these locations are totally shown. Plus, it's bizarre as...
Yeah. It's got to make it on the list of most... like Humboldty, you know, featuring of Humboldt. It's really shot here. It's almost as if it actually is. I think that it's really just some nondescript, like they don't ever say where they're supposed to be in that movie.
Exactly.
But it seems like they actually could be here. It's not supposed to be some sort of fantastic place. And also it's unusual for the big feature not to be our big trees, right? Like you're talking about so many of these other films. It's not a Redwoods movie. It's a Eureka and Arcata.
And
so it's strange. And Fortuna. Strange thing is, right, that was the weird thing, is they didn't use one tree. You know, they didn't do a forest scene.
Right.
And then the other thing that was really amazing about it, that we got that movie because the production designer on Swiss Army Man was looking for an inn. He had already been up here for Swiss Army Man, was looking for an inn. They were trying to shoot it on the East Coast. And when he was Googling inns, ours popped up and he went, oh my God, Humboldt, that's right. They're so helpful. We want to go there.
And he sold it to them based on having already been here. So we had an entire feature film with all those dollars it come in because of that.
Nice. So yes. I actually have a story on that one because I was asked to be an extra in it, although they didn't ever actually end up using me. So this was the first time I've ever done extra work for a movie, and I learned during this how incredibly boring that can be. and just filming a movie in general, wow, it takes all day, really, or sometimes more, multiple days to film one scene, right? And as extras, we just sat around. We just sat there all day waiting to be asked. And then I think only two people even ended up getting used. I wasn't one of those people. So I didn't even, you know, get you even asked. Not even not make it into the movie, but just not even, you know, make it on, right, onto the
I'm an extra in the movie. I'm actually.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Wow. You know,
again, self-serving. You know what I'm
saying? Yeah. Hey, that shouldn't be allowed. What the hell?
Well, you know, also, you're fired, Nate.
They needed someone to gray hair, and unfortunately, you know.
And they were just
they needed about 200 people with gray hair. Yeah. So.
Right.
Also,
they were night scenes, so they wanted people who were older at night in January when we had foggy weather, and so we were running out of people who were able to actually drive themselves. You know, they had gray hair, they could drive at 4 a.m. when they were done filming. You know, it was really interesting. So it was like, we had to pull every gray-haired body available into the movie.
That makes sense. That's why they didn't want to use me, because I'm so youthful and gorgeous.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes.
They actually told me that they were worried I would draw focus from the stars, so that was why.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Also starring Nando Molina, our fine local comedian.
Yes.
I feel like pointing out. All right, so An Evening with Beverly Loughlin, questionable number 3, but we'll move on to
number 2. Okay, oh boy. Two. Ah, man, you're going to nail me for this one again because it's Del Norte.
Yes, I am.
Love in the Time of Monsters.
Okay, now, another one I have not seen.
So. I have not seen that. I saw that on the map, obviously. But yeah, I have not seen Love in the Time of Monsters. So yeah, you're going to have to pitch this one hard.
Okay, so it was also entirely filmed in our region, I'll say. And what it is it's an ode to horror movies. So it's more of a comedy. You guys remember Saturday the 14th?
No.
I'm old. So, you know, there's Friday the 13th.
Well, yeah, no, I got it.
Anna Faris movies or whatever. There was Saturday the 14th, and it was hilarious. It was one of the very first comedy odes to horror movies. So this is kind of like that. They have every cheeky stereotype in it. And so I actually got to go to the LA screening of it, premiere of it. And it was really fun. And that was the first time I saw it, because I did go on site and watch it be filmed. And I thought, oh, horror movie, Bigfoot, you know, and all these things. And in the end, it was actually really funny. And it's an ode to horror movies. And they even use the Trees of Mystery. They have, the movie starts where the two sisters, who later, the rest of the movie is them grown up, but they're little, like 8 years old, and they're with their dad, and they're looking at, you know, the ox and the lumberjack, and they have this special effect where the axe comes down and kills the father. And so that's how the movie starts, is then they go back to the same area like 15, 20 years later now, and now they're grown-ups. And so it was just this really funny feature, you know, of showing the Trees of Mystery and using that moment as a horror movie. And then the rest of it, yeah, is this ode to horror.
Wow.
See, now you want to see it, don't you?
I'm can I stream this? Can I stream this number 2 movie?
That's a good question.
You worked on what can be streamed and not streamed. I don't remember if that was one of them.
I don't remember if Love and the Type of Monsters came up.
I think it came out, but
I'm going to Google it really fast.
Yeah, because All right, so Love and the Time of Monsters, number 2. So
you can watch it on Amazon Prime with your Prime membership, evidently.
Okay.
It's also one of those, maybe it's so bad it's good, but
And on YouTube, and on Google Play, and on Vudu, and
YouTube. You could watch it on YouTube?
Yes, $1.99.
$1.99 on YouTube. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, there you go.
Stream probably.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So number two. So this brings us to our number one movie, and there's a lot of movies left. There's a lot of movies that you could have put on this list that I'm
there's a lot, surprised. But you also have to remember we didn't put them in order. We're just, yeah, okay, we just decided to read them in the order that they are from the list that we created.
I'm deciding that this is the movie that you think is the best movie.
I'll go with that.
Yeah.
Okay. What did you say, Nate?
I'll go with that. This is actually
Nate is a good soldier. Okay, so the number one movie. Jeez,
we're gonna get hammered for this one.
Ever shot in Humboldt is
Swiss Army Man.
Okay, I knew it. I knew that was where you were going with it.
Okay, we keep.
Yeah. Also known as the Farting Corpse movie.
The Farting Corpse.
Yeah.
Okay, so pitch.
But the bus scene.
Yeah.
With all the beautiful lights and stuff, and when he's like realizing like what love is. Ugh.
There's some real humanity in this movie. Like, I really, I think it's a great movie.
No, I mean, I make fun because the premise is funny, but it was well reviewed, and I think most people that watch it think it's really interesting, and it's obviously a ambitious concept.
Well, and you know the story behind it, which is hilarious, because so I get this phone call one day, and it's like from the Daniels, and they're like, "Am I? You're both named Daniel, and you're both a director." And I'm like, "Yeah." And so they said, "Well, are you coming down to LA soon?" I'm like, "Yeah, I happen to be coming down next week." And they said, "Okay, well, can we meet with you?" Okay. So I go to Daniel's house, one of them, and he wasn't actually there. So the other Daniel's there, and I've never met this guy before. I've never met them. I didn't really know who they were at the time. They've never made a movie. I come out of my car. And I meet him at the house because they have an office there, supposedly. But he comes out in this t-shirt with balloons all over it. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to get murdered. Why am I meeting him at a house? And he's like, oh, come through the back. Let's go to the back. And so we walk in through the back, and there's this big, huge garage. And he's telling me the office, you know, he's going to go show me something in there. The office is in there. And I'm like, you know, Shacks and Humboldt are not usually in office. I was like, okay. And I'm like, where are you taking me? I'm like, getting ready to dial 911. And he takes me in there. Sure enough, there's a writing office. It's an actual, you know, filmmaker's office with a huge chalkboard and, you know, all awards, MTV awards, holding books up and things. And I'm like, who the hell are these guys? So he starts talking to me, you know, about the movie and what they want to shoot up there and how they're shooting some of it in the Bay Area and they want to shoot some of it up in Humboldt. And I said, hey, is that an MTV award? And he goes, yeah. And I go, what's it for? And he's like, oh, he's like, oh, best director. For what? What music video? He's all, oh, turn down for what? And I go, turn down for what? And it's like the most hilarious video, right?
Yeah, which is a great music video.
Yeah, it really is.
I don't know why he would be embarrassed of that.
Because they hated the song and they said, to quote them, sorry, to paraphrase.
Perfectly fun song.
They ended up, well, but the video makes it even more fun. You know, I think that's part of that.
It's wonderful.
They said, that, this is what they told me. We're going to pitch the most extreme, crazy idea and they'll never pick us. Well, guess what? They picked them out of all the pitches that came and they were like, no. So then Daniel, one of the Daniels is the main guy, the dancer, right? Who ends up having the biological problem down below. And he's dancing. And so then he said, I'll only do it if you are the handler that handles that movement. Okay. I don't know if you remember that part in the movie, in the thing where his body, you know, has an erection.
So
he had to be the handler, the other Daniel. It was hilarious. So after that, he said to me, every wedding they've ever gone to, the song comes on and everyone expects Daniel to dance like that. And he's like, he goes, I run to the bathroom the moment I hear the first few notes, you know? Yeah. So they have this history of doing things and like pushing the envelope. So when they came up with this movie was what they told me, all the things they hated. They hated farting jokes in movies. They hated the song Cotton Eye Joe. They hated, you know, there's all these things that they hated. So they went, can we make a movie that's actually decent from the things we hate? And that was their challenge to themselves. So I look up on the chalkboard, and I'm seeing all these different things, that, you know, Cotton Eye Joe and, you know, farting jokes. And I see poop montage. And I just, first time I've ever met him, He's got a balloon t-shirt on. He's just told me about that song. And I go, does that say poop montage? And he looks at me, turns bright red. He goes, It was so great. And then later I was there for the poop montage when we actually shot it. And I know what it was now. And it was shot in Humboldt. At Humboldt Redwood State Park. It's hilarious. So
yeah, but again, you know, makes a movie that makes Humboldt look beautiful. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And what was also great about that movie, and I think again, we're not objective about this. Is it actually a good movie? You know, but I mean, I do love it, but I love it for so many other reasons. So again, you know, Daniel Radcliffe, you know, obviously played when his character comes alive at times, you know, or pseudo alive. He's that person, but there was a lot of times where they had dummies that looked just like Daniel. For instance, his pants would be down and his bottom would be exposed. So for when they were taking him in the ocean and doing things with him. So Daniel half the time would be carrying his own dummy, which was hilarious because, you know, he's so great. He'll do whatever and help out. And as Nate said earlier, there would be these people who would show up to try to get, you know, a look at Daniel Radcliffe. And here he is carrying his own dummy and we'd be crying. I mean, all the crew would be laughing hysterically. Or one time they were shooting off to the side and there was a pathway. Were you there, Nate, when the family walked up and there was one of Daniel's bodies just laying there on the ground, like all disfigured. But you could see it was Daniel Radcliffe's face. And we said, oh, sorry, we're filming. Could you just stop for a second? We'll let you through in a few minutes. And they said, oh, what are you shooting? And we go, oh, a mayonnaise commercial. Cause that's what you always say in the industry. And they looked down.
Oh, really?
Daniel Radcliffe.
Okay.
And they're like, oh.
A dead Daniel Radcliffe.
Why is there a Daniel Radcliffe with his butt out on the ground?
It was really great.
It'll make so much sense when you see it. This mayonnaise commercial featuring a poop montage shot in the Redwoods. Okay. Yeah.
So we have our list with our top 10. Let me just go down it real quick. Number 10, E.T. Number 9, Return of the Jedi. Number 8, Bird Box. Number 7, The Big Trees. Number 6, Green Dolphin Street. Number 5, Salem's Lot. Number 4, Dead Man. Number 3, An Evening with Beverly Loughlin. Number 2, Love and the Time Monsters. And number 1, what is it called again?
Swiss Army Man.
Yes. Now, I'm instantly just flabbergasted at some of the movies that are not on this list. I know you have other lists to get to, but can I just... The one that hurts me the most is, I mean, just on in terms of Rotten Tomato scores, like,
yeah, tell us.
Well, there's two movies on that are because that's like an industry, like Rotten Tomatoes is respected, right? That number matters, right?
It can, and it's not every once in a while it does.
Okay. So I like Steffi, I was an extra in a movie. That has an 86% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's called Willow Creek.
Oh, it's on one of our lists.
That made a list.
You just wait.
Okay. All right. Maybe we need to get to the other list.
All right. So let's move on. What's our next list?
Wait. You had two. You had two that you were surprised. Yeah, what's the other one?
Oh well, the other one is obviously the Love Witch. How dare you?
Oh, you know what? We talked about that one. That one was one of those floating ones that we were like, you know, should we put it on it? Should we not put it on it? So it was, again, I had some behind the scenes kerfuckle that made me not want it to be on the list.
Oh, okay, so really? Now
personal,
I'm curious.
Personal views doomed The Love Witch from being included in the top 10 movies.
It actually, you know, the way that they did it and everything like that is
biased, Cassandra.
Friggin' cool. It was really cool. And it was really cool to watch that mean actress like kick in and do, you know, really the dialogue and the way they did it. It's super, you know, it's definitely an ode to a certain era of type of filming. And so they did a great job at that. But that being said, you know, yeah, we have some opinions.
Okay. Let's move on to your next list and then we'll, you know, and then I'll
I mean, there's also Wine of Summer, you know, Maria Mattioli, who lives here, you know, she did a smaller portion here. So not a lot of the movie was filmed here, but beautiful Barcelona, you know, so that's kind of not fair because it's
starring Bob Wells,
Wells, you know, who we actually put that in our video yesterday at our anniversary video and stuff. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of movies that we could have put, you know, Outbreak would have been appropriate right now.
I was going to say,
that's where I thought the one that people was going, of course.
Yeah, Outbreak.
I actually like The Majestic. So there's all kinds of, I mean, there's all kinds of movies we could have done, but these
I also don't understand why people hate The Majestic so much.
Because Jim Carrey wasn't funny and they were upset that he broke and did something cool and different. And as an actress, I really respect that he did a different genre than what he's known for.
But didn't it come after The Truman Show?
Maybe I don't remember, but that was the biggest complaint I remember hearing during the time was he's not funny. You know, he's not playing his typical, you know, self, you know.
So get over it, confuse people. They're like, I can't wait to go see this slapstick movie, The Majestic. And then it was supposed to be serious.
Yeah.
Now Jim Carrey's done several successful serious roles, or at least one. I mean, Eternal Sunshine. Come on.
Yeah, I was just gonna name that one. Yeah,
let's see. Majestic was 2001, so that would have been after The Truman Show, I think. Anyway, okay, so let's move on to your next. What do we have? The worst or the other one?
Yeah, what are we bad? Bad or love slash?
Okay, well, top three worst movies.
Yes,
okay,
worst. We gotta go. I think we'll do the top three worst.
I'll let you take this one.
Okay. So.
I think the way that you sent them to me in the email, I'm gonna start with number three and count down to number one because I agree
completely.
Okay.
All right. Number three, The Lost Coast Tapes.
This is a Bigfoot movie.
This is a big horror movie.
Yeah. Yeah. But shot during y'all's tenure.
See.
So you're okay. Well, what now? Why is this bad?
This is bad. I mean, it's just, you know, it was a very sweet crew. It was a low budget indie. They kind of pieced it together. They didn't have a lot of money. They had a high hopes. They did, you know, did have a cool stunt guy. But other than that, I don't know. I don't, but maybe it's just me. Maybe I don't like that genre and another Bigfoot movie, you know, I want to gag. So, but people. I loved working with them. I'm still friends with some of them. You know,
I made the mistake of showing it at Movies in the Park, I think, our first season, without pre-screening it. Because it had been shot in Sequoia Park, and I'm like, oh, this could be cool.
Part of it.
You know, I didn't realize that somebody gets their head blown off by a shotgun. I've since learned that I need to pre-screen this and make sure it's family-friendly.
Right. And it's basically kind of like it's very similar to The Blair Witch.
Yeah.
So they're running in the forest, kind of running from Bigfoot instead of running from the entity in Blair Witch, you know. So it's very similar, you know, found footage.
Okay, let it be known that the humble Del Norte Film Commission has no patience for Bigfoot movies. We need no more of these. Take your Bigfoot movies elsewhere.
Primal Monster. I like liked Primal Rage. Primal Rage was good.
Primal Rage is really good.
Okay.
They didn't make it on our list, but Primal Rage is good.
Didn't make your list, though. Okay.
Well, maybe we can do another, like, top, you know, horror movie list of everything.
Okay.
Genre by genre. Yeah.
All right, number two worst humble movie.
Oh, you mentioned this one.
Yeah.
Willow Creek.
Now, this is ridiculous. That has an 86% on Rotten Tomatoes. And let me make my pitch for why Willow Creek is a good movie. Cassandra, I think you went to so just so everyone knows, this is a Bobcat Goldthwait directed movie. It's also kind of a found footage thing, and it takes place in Willow Creek. They interview actual people in Willow Creek that are part of the cottage Bigfoot industry there, and it's they're earnest and real interviews that are spliced in with this story of two people going and searching for Bigfoot. And you went to the premiere that they had at the Arcata Theater Lounge, right? And I thought that was just one of the most beautiful, weird nights that I've been able to witness, because you have all these people, but Bobcat Goldthwait treated these Bigfoot people with respect that they are not often given. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, Bobo's not in the movie, Bobo's there, but there's this guy, Tom, I think his last name's Yamarone, who writes Bigfoot songs. He's a local guy. They got him on stage to perform his wacky Bigfoot songs. And all these Bigfoot weirdos were just given this like stage to celebrate their life's work.
You didn't say what's the top 10 movie premieres. You said what's the top 10 movies or top three bad, but, worst, you know, you're right.
But Cassandra, 86% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah. You know what he did? He didn't pull one effing permit.
This is what it is.
It's an illegal shoot.
It was an illegal shoot. You know what? Because I was an extra in the movie. we were doing an
but
article.
You illegally filmed in Humboldt.
That's right. And we, because we were just at the bar in Willow Creek, because I was doing a story, like a rural bar crawl story for the journal at the time. And we just happened to come across Bobcat Goldthwait filming at the Forks in Willow Creek. And he's like, hey, you guys want to be in this movie? And I don't think we signed, I didn't sign anything. Like there's just, but I'm just in this movie.
For money.
I don't want to. I'm very honored by the, by the inclusion. It was a great time. So,
and I'm just honored to get to go to the premiere, even though I was like, whatever, okay, what they're filming. Yeah. I didn't call the police on them. They did film it illegally. I was, you know, like, okay, I could have helped you, you know, but he was
so almost a decade later.
Commissioners who just want you to do a permit.
Yeah, and almost so a decade later, you are taking your revenge on Bobcat Goldthwait by not including
You know why I put it on the bad list? Because I don't even remember it. I cannot remember. Other than.
Oh, it's great. It's a great movie, Cassandra.
No, there's some weird rape scene of, I think, Bigfoot rapes a girl, and then she runs, and she's the hero.
That's not exactly what happens.
What? I don't know. Laura Montagna, the casting director, said that that's what happens in that scene, and she
worked on it. Maybe I forget. I don't know.
Yeah, no, there's this, it's kind of a, we think Bigfoot rapes her, and then she's the hero at the end, which is great, female hero, but...
Oh, is that
Bigfoot rape is questionable?
I think it's open to interpretation.
Wow.
So you're on Bigfoot's side,
is what you're saying.
Well, you're me tooing Bigfoot right now.
And that's, yeah, hashtag me too.
Yeah.
Okay.
What happens?
Time's up.
Yeah. Right. we're viewing Willow Creek through a different lens. Okay, so Willow Creek is number two on the list. Sorry, that was a long diversion on my part.
Let's move on.
Yeah.
Let's move on to number one. And what I'm curious is this going to be another Bigfoot movie?
Yeah,
we're seems really like hot. The Bigfoot yeah. movies aren't, no, aren't so hot.
That briefly, but it is not a Bigfoot movie.
Yeah.
Okay,
what do we got?
Woodshock.
Okay.
Woodshock, okay. Starring Kirsten Dunst, also exactly. shot during y'all's tenure as film commission people.
We vet the scripts.
Okay. Yeah.
We have another A in what they're shooting. You know?
So why is Woodshock horrible?
Yeah.
Because you should basically watch it on mute. It's beautifully shot. But just mute it. Play your favorite soundtrack, you know.
The script is just not the best.
Well, they shot the script, but when I think they cut it, they did not make the movie that they shot.
A lot of it didn't make sense. Like when we threw the premiere, talk about premieres, I remember when it was over, everybody was like, what happened? But where did he go? And how did he end up dead? And how did this, and the story just doesn't really make sense. It's almost like a drug trip in itself at that point, but that's not what they had said that they were making. And from what I understood was, that it just was really hard to piece together, you know, and that they ended up having to cut it like that. It was really long, and the story was, you know, very convoluted as the script. And then when they went and tried to edit it, it was difficult for them to piece something together. And this is what they ended up with. You know, it's beautifully shot. And there's so many pros that were on the movie. It was excellent, but it was, I think the script itself just was very problematic and lent itself to this final product.
Right. And I think I want to point out the production designer is KK Barrett, who did all of Spike Jonze movies, all of them. And I was actually more excited to work with him than Kirsten because I'm a film nerd.
She's very nice.
She is very nice generally.
I'm
not going to tell them here.
But did she not buy a round of drinks for Humboldt Roller Derby at the Shanty or something
that?
She would buy me drinks too often. She was really sweet that way. But you're right, KK Barrett, I mean, he also did Her. He was the production designer for Her.
That's a great movie.
Yeah. He's a legend. He's a legend in the industry, you know.
And immortalized the Lager Bar,
And they had a great team, you know. It was a great team. You know, they were great.
The production team was great. I actually worked on the crew on that one as locations. And of course, most of the crew would say, you know what? This is your first movie. It'll never be like this on any other set. this is an awful one. So
yeah, I think the script was just problematic. There were some other issues that we probably shouldn't say recorded.
Okay.
But,
I remember one issue. Because it was discussed on, I believe, the Tonight Show. Kirsten Dunst, post Woodshock, went on the Tonight Show, and it seems like somebody in the crew slipped her some of Humboldt's most famous product, and it turned out to be very strong.
That's not what happened.
Nate knows firsthand that's not what happened, Nate.
Why does Nate know that?
Because he was the one being accused by her.
Oh, my Lord. Do I? No. Can I actually?
No, that's how we interpreted it. Go ahead.
Yeah.
You're fired.
State your case, Nate.
Okay. So, I'm kind of throwing the ball under the bus here. So, my short version of this is my second day on set or third day on set, I got to know the props guy, and he came over to me and he said, "Hey, man, can you roll a joint?" And I was like, "Wait,
yes,
I'm actually very good at rolling."
This is not the short version. This is the detailed version. Short version. Yeah.
And so basically I was hired to become the stunt joint roller for Woodshock because Kirsten was going to have to smoke joints on screen.
Okay.
And so I ended up having a production meeting with KK Barrett, which I was like, "Oh my God, we're talking about joints with KK Barrett." Okay. Mm-hmm. And so they're like, "Okay, great. We've decided that we're going to roll these like 70 style, you know, like little twisty joints because she probably can't roll a joint very well." So they're like, "Go roll 60 of those." And so I end up rolling 60 stunt joints. Now she also is going to be rolling joints on screen, on camera. And so they bought some real weed to have her rolls, you know, so it looked real on screen. And so she ended up rolling these 5 joints over and over and over. When we cut that scene, I don't know what happened to those 5 joints, but I know.
Because you were not the prop guy.
I was not the prop guy. I was just the stunt joint roller. So I never had any real cannabis in my hand. Sure. I could somehow make it into a stunt joint.
Mm-hmm.
However, the next day, when they went to shoot that scene, somehow one of those real joints, I think actually 2 of them is what Kirsten says, ended up being handed to her to smoke. And I had nothing to do with that because I was off in another room rolling stunt joints.
Okay.
I was privy to kind of the fallout afterwards because they had a meeting in the room I was in. But when I woke up after the Jimmy Kimmel interview the next day, I had so many messages on Facebook. They're like, "Hey, what do you know about this? What do you know about this?" Because I had told this story for many years that, you know, I kind of knew what happened. And I was mad at Kirsten for throwing me under the bus because I had.
Because she says a local, Nate was the only local dealing with it. So that was, that's why I said it was practically an accusation.
I can tell this weighs heavy on you, Nate.
It does. I was I got to know Kirsten. Like I said before, we you know, hang out in the woods and smoke cigarettes in her warming tent. She borrowed my Bluetooth speaker. We went to the bar. Yeah. You know,
well, it didn't seem like she was that upset when she was telling Jimmy Kimmel about it. Like,
no, she did have a rough day that day, we'll say.
So she did get handed a real joint in place of a stunt joint, is what we're saying possibly happened. And what is in a stunt joint?
Herbal rolling blends, you know, of like whatever. They went to the head shops and bought every rolling paper you'd ever seen, every smoking blend you'd ever seen, and then packages of tobacco. Kirsten was a smoker, and so they had tobacco in the middle of these things with a little bit of smoking blend on the end, so it looked like.
Okay.
I feel like only in Humboldt would a person on a film crew have the title stunt joint roller.
I feel like I should put that on my IMDb.
Definitely.
Okay. Well, I hope that Nate and Kirsten Dunst's relationship is solid now. I think we should probably move on to your third and final list, the So Bad It's Good top 3 movies shot in Humboldt.
Top four.
Okay. They just completely made up. I love that you just came up with an arbitrary number. This is your guys' own list that you did yourselves without
any. We didn't know where to put these.
Okay.
Top 4.
Weird like that.
So Bad It's Good. Take it away. Okay. Number four.
So I'm going to do it. I'll do this one, Nate, and I'll do it in four as being four.
Okay.
Would you agree?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. So four is Lost World.
Okay. Yeah. Lost World, the second Jurassic Park film from 1997. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Why isn't that not good enough to make the main list?
To be honest with you, I didn't necessarily have either way. This was more of a Nate's pick. He's adamant that it's bad, but it's good.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Jurassic Park is a classic.
Sure.
Yes.
And then this follow-up just kind of dropped the ball.
Yeah.
Yes, that's every part two of every movie series.
Right.
Except for Star Wars.
Right.
So you're not feeling Lost World, but where shot in where did they shoot it again? In Fern Canyon, right?
Fern Canyon.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
that part's actually pretty cool, and there's actually really cool pictures of dinosaurs, like in the crew and everything there. So I actually appreciate that part, but whatever. Okay. Nate had to have his way.
Okay. he's not selling it that hard.
I think he's over it.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, let's move on to number three.
Number three. Yeah.
Not as bad as the third one, but hey.
Yeah. The third one is really
that
epic.
Okay.
I think the third one maybe should, for me, would be my number one, but I let Nate kind of pick the one. So number three.
Throw probably, Nate under the bus.
This is his fault. But number three is probably my worst. It's so bad, it's good. Yeah. Almost Heroes.
Almost Heroes, starring Chris Farley and Matthew Perry, 1998. I went and looked through Rotten Tomatoes of a lot of the Humboldt movies, and this has an 8%.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah. It was also his last movie.
It's his last movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a friend growing up, so it was like 98, who told me that, because they shot it on the Trinity, I want to say, that she was out rafting with some friends, and she came across Chris Farley peeing into the river. Like, she came around a bend, and there he was, and he just waved at them like, hi, he's peeing into the river.
That's amazing.
It's the last thing Chris Farley did.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. I have another story that I can't tell on this podcast that remind me to tell you next time I see you, Andrew.
Fine.
Like that.
Okay, Almost Heroes is number three. Number two on the so bad it's good, I guess.
Nate, why don't you do the last two?
Jennifer 8.
Jennifer 8, which is a Spike Lee joint.
Okay. This was Uma Thurman.
Murder
mystery.
Sorry, what am I thinking?
Right. Filmed in Eureka, Trinidad. She's blind. He's trying to solve the mystery. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, definitely never seen it myself. So,
numerous times. I actually kind of liked it in the 90s. And now as I look back, I'm like, oh my God, it's so dated and it really wasn't that good. It's just not. I did like it at one point. So
yeah, okay. So that's why I made it on the possibly good.
Possibly good if you're in. Yeah. I mean, I was into Uma Thurman. I think was probably the thing.
That's all it takes.
Yeah, that's all it takes.
Right. Okay. Right. Yeah.
Okay, and then number one on the so bad it's good movies that needed a place.
Has a big cult following. Halloween 3.
Season of the Witch.
Yes. Yeah. Now again, I haven't seen it, but I've been curious. This is available on several streaming services, I think, and it comes up sometimes. And I think, should I do it? And then I don't, and I don't know why. So tell me, why should I or should I not?
It's shot in Lolita.
I mean, it's out of, you know, the first two Halloween movies obviously, you know, follow the original story of Michael Myers. And then somehow they made this movie that I don't know if it's supposed to just be in the world of Michael Myers, but it has no Michael Myers in it.
Right.
It's about a factory that makes Halloween masks that end up being haunted.
Right.
So when you
don't
put
they
them
make
on,
them out of children or something? Like children?
Yeah.
Oh,
I can't remember exactly something creepy about it. And it was
that factory in Lolita across the street.
Right. Yeah, the creamery. It's an old creamery building.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is now for sale, I noticed. So you could own a piece
of for sale forever.
Movie history.
It was the Shamrock Novelty Company is what it was, you know.
Okay, yeah.
Lolita is actually featured throughout the movie is like, you know, one of the prime shooting spots. So weird.
Which is very fun. I mean, yeah. How often is yeah. it? Lolita is not one of our most common on the list of these.
Hey man, of Lolita's these great.
So, yeah,
yeah, no, totally. It actually gets looked at a lot, and it's interesting how it'll get looked at, and then they'll go, and, you know, and it's actually a shame, because we did, pre-COVID, have a huge, huge movie that was going to go through Lolita, and hopefully if they come back someday, that movie will, it was going to go all over Humboldt, but part of it was they were going to have a scene.
Would that be Afterward, starring Terrence Howard and Aaron Eckhart, Cassandra?
No, that's an indie movie.
No! Oh, another movie.
But yes, okay. They were actually interested in it as well.
Okay,
is a huge movie pre COVID.
What was that? What was that movie, Cassandra?
Tell you.
Yeah, there.
You give us a hint.
No.
No comment, Cassandra.
Dang. Okay.
One thing I do want to say about Halloween 3, which was very bizarre, because I had never seen it, but I knew all the details about it. And one day, I'm in my office. This was when we had an office in Arcata. And the building was redoing the ceiling lights. They were putting in better energy lights, you know. So they had tore out my ceiling, had plastic everywhere, all over my stuff, and had one like tube bank fluorescent like sideways. So my office looked like a horror movie, okay? I'm in my office, I'm at my desk, I get a phone call. Plus it had no windows. So it was like in the middle of the building. And it was just creepy, okay? So I'm sitting there, no one is there, Nate's not there yet. And I get this phone call from this guy who's very adamant about, he wants to know where Halloween 3 filmed. He wants to know about this factory. Did it film anywhere else? He's super into it. He's just a huge fan of Halloween 3, which gives me the creeps that someone would call the film commission so interested in a factory that killed children and turned them into mass, that I was like, I immediately Google the guy as I'm talking to him. And sure enough, comes up his arrest profile.
What?
Phone harassment. And I'm like, on the phone with him. And I'm like, my office looks like a creepy horror movie. And I'm just like, how do I get off the phone? How do I get off the phone? I mean, and then he proceeded to call me several times, and I just had to keep ignoring his phone calls. But yeah, so I have a special love-hate relationship with that movie.
That was the guy that we had to put a photo of at the front desk and say he's not allowed in the building.
Wow.
There were several. There was also the other guy who tried to tell me he worked for Johnny Depp, and Johnny Depp's company and private eye had to step in and say, he's not going after Johnny Depp, he's going after you, Cassandra. And then I had to go to the sheriff's department. I mean, I've had three stalkers?
Four. We've had
quite a few.
Can you compose a list of your stalkers in order of how creepy they were, and we can do that at another podcast?
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay. The ones were so bad that they were good. This is crazy part of this job to me that I guess I'd never really thought about. But I mean, is this something like, do you have to kind of, when people start working with you, you have to tell them about this, like, hey, you know, you got to be able to handle some weirdos possibly calling and or
yes.
showing up, and you yeah. have to get any kind of training to deal
with? I didn't get much training in that. It was you know, it would happen and she'd be like, oh yeah, that just happens sometimes.
Yeah.
you know, this is how we've dealt with it in the past. I'm like, what yeah. stalkers?
But now we're in a better building. Well, pre-COVID, we're in a better building where there is a front entrance, you know, and they take it very seriously too, because one of my stalkers actually came there to that building, and they were really great about, now they kind of stop anybody who comes in and wants to see the film commission. They're very good at, we're in a back area, hard to get to unless you know where we are. And so it's really nice because they've been very nice at helping buffer that. Nate buffers that, you know, and but yeah, it gets weird. I mean, you know, people get excited because they're like, oh, you've met Brad Pitt. Oh, you've met Will Smith. I mean, I've been invited to a birthday party before because they said, can you come to my birthday party because you met Will Smith? I was given cutscenes of mine at the Sea Grill because I had brought Brad Pitt here, you know, at the salad line. There was only three of us in the salad line.
That's an accomplishment. Yeah.
You got to cut in line at the salad bar at the Sea Grill. Yeah. Oh my God. That's worth it alone. I mean,
right?
It's amazing how when you have friends in high places,
ridiculous, honestly, ridiculous.
So I want to thank you for the hard work that you did compiling these lists. I am going to call them into question because, you know, Outbreak and Willow Creek did not make any of your lists, and so I'm
no, Willow Creek did.
I'm sorry. Willow Creek, but it shouldn't have been
terrible
on the
list.
It should have been on the good list.
But Outbreak, we were a little, you know, we were being sensitive. We're in a pandemic. Do you know Outbreak's anniversary was March of this year?
Yeah. Yes. Well, that's
you were going to post it, and then we're all
we were going to post it. Decided. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, but I think. It could have been good. I think it. I noticed that in the early pandemic days that it had a big rising. It became like one of the top movies on Netflix all of a sudden. So
yeah.
And I just think you should have respected Dave Silverbrand's performance a little bit more and included it on your list.
That's true. That's fair. Didn't we do a screening or we did interview? We did a screening and brought them and did interviews with people. A couple years ago.
Oh, when we celebrated the 100-year anniversary of filming, we did actually.
Yeah, we brought up
the mom. I think they sat and talked about their experience. Mm-hmm.
So then two more movies that did not make it on any of your list that I think I calls into question everything that you're doing here would be After Earth. Now, what like that has an 11% on Rotten Tomatoes, big movie as we mentioned it, Will Smith and Jaden Smith. Now, why would that not be on your bad list?
Because there's worse movies than that.
Well, so that's Nate's rationale, is that there's worse movies than that.
But I just wonder if it's because you're a little too close to the project.
No, this is my rationale actually on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Is I too didn't necessarily love it as well. But I think that there's a couple things that happened. First of all, the original version, M. Night Shyamalan's original version, was 20 minutes longer and explained some details and had some things in there that wasn't there, that actually made the first screening, a lot of the people who attended it cry, and they actually liked it, and it was his version. Sony cut it, from what I've been told. Sony cut it and made their version, put him on vacation, and that's what they put out in the public. And they also marketed it as a Will Smith action adventure movie. It's not. It's a Jaden Smith coming of age movie. So my 15-year-old at the time, I think she was 15, 14, somewhere in there, and then her brother would have been about 9. They loved it. It was for them. It was a family movie. So I think that the thing is that, for us grownups who were expecting Will Smith to be this epic hero, and he just laid there with like a wounded leg, you know, it was a failure in our eyes. But I think a lot of it had to do with the marketing and maybe how they cut some of, you know, the intentions of M. Night Shyamalan stuff out.
So seek out the M. Night Shyamalan director's cut of After Earth, and you will be much more
That's the rumor I hear. That was more well received by adults.
And then the last
movie was a good movie for kids.
What are you gonna say, Andrew?
The last movie that you found no place on any list for is,
you don't know what our other lists are.
Humboldt County.
Okay. Wow.
Cassandra has left the Zoom. I don't know why this would happen.
I even have matchsticks. I have Humboldt County matchsticks.
Okay, now what, this is kind of a controversial movie here locally, because I think a lot of people like it, but it's a weird movie. Like, what, have you nothing to say in defense of Humboldt County?
I do actually, because I know Danny and Darren very well, and the producer Jason. And, you know, Danny and Darren, the thing about it is a lot of people are like, oh, outsider Hollywood people came and made a movie. They don't know anything about Humboldt. And a lot of what we kept hearing when the movie actually came out was, you can't get from the Lager Bar to the beach that quick. And it was just people, you know, that's not, I'm sure there's movies you watch about, you know, Russia, and you don't know how they can get from one location to another, you know. So that's about being too close to home. But I also think the thing is the movie was made pre-cannabis being legal. So I got a few death threats for helping that movie from farmers. So that was interesting. And I think that, you know, what's interesting about the movie is people kept saying, again, that, you know, how could these Hollywood types come here and make a movie? None of it's true. Well, Darren's aunt and uncle came from LA. That couple, the older couple in the movie, are based on his aunt and uncle. Have a farm or had a farm, you know, in Southern Humboldt. And every summer he would come up here, and Danny, often his best friend, would come with him. So they actually experienced a lot of these things, saw a lot of these things. And a lot of it was true stories that you know, he witnessed and experienced and put into a movie. And then they turned it into, you know, two best friends that are opposing. One who's stuck in, they're actually both stuck in the family business. One happens to be cannabis, one happens to be being a doctor. And how do they get out of that and the problems that are coming with that, you know?
Yeah. Okay. But so it holds a strong place in your humbled film career in that.
It was the first movie.
Death threats were leveled against you.
Yeah. It was the first movie I worked on. Well, because I did casting, actually. I wasn't the film commissioner for that. So I was the associate casting director and worked with John Jackson, who did Sideways and, you know, all the movies with, what's his name? And I loved working with John. And so I was getting, like, my dog over here might be throwing up. You're choking over there. So I was getting death threats because they knew I was casting. And so they were like, you better not be making this movie. You should tell them not to make this movie. It was very strange. But so I loved it. And then after casting it, they pulled me on production and I got to work on it. So I was crew. This was 4 years maybe before I became film commissioner. So it was really fun to work on it from that aspect.
Yeah. Well, cool. That's all, you know, thank you for putting in this hard work on making these very important lists.
Yeah, I think we did it about 10 minutes over a beer is what I think.
Oh, don't tell me
that. What?
Yeah. It was we thought that you had different
so hard
and all these different things weighing in. Wow.
Well, they did. Okay. We're just, you know. Quick.
Yeah.
okay. Well,
no, it's like hours of our lives.
Days of work, really.
Okay.
We appreciate it.
and when that big Hollywood movie comes back, I hope you will consider us for speaking roles, or recommending us for speaking roles in it. We're ready to be famous.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. Yeah, good. All right, Nate and Sandra, thank you so much. For
Thank
zooming
you.
With us, and I hope this wasn't too painful. Good job.
We really appreciate your guys' time and everything that you do. Anything else you want to add, put out there to the Humboldt community?
No, we're just so grateful to be able to represent the area. It's so beautiful, and I feel honored to be in this position, for sure.
Congratulations on 10 years as commissioner.
Congratulations. And on your 8 years.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You guys are doing it. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, all.
Thanks.
See y'all.
Bye.
All right. Well, thank you so much to Cassandra and Nate from the Humboldt Del Norte Film Commission for joining us today and sharing their lists.
I'm bitter about the... Willow Creek being...
You're still bitter about the Willow Creek.
This list will forever have an asterisk next to it, but it was a great way to kill an hour.
Yeah. I had my share of disappointments too. I mean, you know, personally, I thought The Love Witch should have been on there, but, you know, I have no investment in that the way you do with Willow Creek, so...
Next film commissioner will make a new list.
Yes, exactly.
All right, well, anyway, just quick housekeeping reminder. If you are so inclined, you may subscribe to Humboldt Holding Up on iTunes. We're there miraculously. And as always, please wear a mask because we're spiking again, maybe? I don't know. Oh, God. More time to watch movies.
Hey, and I also just want to say thank you to our sponsor, Lowe's Bagels. And of course, if you would like to be a sponsor of Humboldt Holding Up, email advertise@lostcoastoutpost.com.
Yeah.
And that's all.
All right.
Andrew, it's been real.
Goodbye.
Toodles.
Bye.